Oh, you like that, don't you?
The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 328, recorded on October 7th, 2013. Hello and welcome to the 328th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and 161st episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Jonah Falcon.
And I am Jordan Lund.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry. No gaming flashback, no gaming history, but you know, there's a lot of news. One I had to add today, which is kind of grody for people in the UK. So what have you been playing?
Well, still doing Diablo 3 with my wife, since I'm not allowed to play it outside her influence. But I also took a little bit to sit down with Killzone Mercenary on the Vita.
Okay.
And I don't know. It hasn't grabbed me yet. I think the main issue with Mercenary is that it's very much money driven. It's a first person shooter, but every time you get a kill, you earn money. And you have to spend the money on really, really basic stuff for a first-person shooter, like ammunition.
Well, so
you can pick up ammunition, but not in any kind of quantity, the way you would in most first-person shooters. So you find that you will end up stopping in the middle of a mission to go buy ammo, or stopping in the middle of a firefight to go buy ammo. Which is kind of weak and lame.
By the way, you know how you know that you're trying to make money? Because the characters say it every 10 seconds.
Yeah.
They always say, we got to make money every 10 seconds about. So I've been playing Civ 5, but I finally got my friend Jerry to play. It's a buy Civ 5 because he could not stand it when it first came out. And I kept on reassuring him that the expansions made it good again, and I had to actually play it in front of him for him to even consider getting it. And then there was a half off sale on Steam, and one of the funny things, this is the first time he used Steam to buy any games. So he was in a panic because he bought the game on Steam and it wasn't appearing. So I said, well, you have to update Steam, and he did that. And then he said, but I only see Sid Meier's Civilization 5. It doesn't say Gold Edition. And I told him that's because that's the name of the game. All the DLC, there is no such thing as a quote-unquote Gold Edition when you look at it. It's just going to be Sid Meier's Civilization 5. Just look in the DLC folder. You'll see that you have all your DLC. So he's finally getting used to it and playing it. And he says he likes it. So score one for me.
That's good.
The main reason why I'm glad he bought it is that we can try and play a co-op game. I've never played a co-op game in Civ 5 before, so this is a story we've been following for some time. Take it away, Jordan.
Source: Rhode Island Governor Lincoln Chafee deliberately torpedoed Studio 38. This comes to us from Games Industry Biz. Former Rhode Island Economic Development Corporation head Keith Stokes has revealed that Rhode Island Governor Lincoln Chafee deliberately blocked indie developer Studio 38 from being able to function normally to force it into bankruptcy and default. According to court filings made by Stokes' lawyer, the governor actively blocked the studio's attempts to either restructure its debt or raise capital in the months before its closure. Chafee refused to meet with the executives of 38 Studios, the documents accuse. The governor even prevented the issues from being discussed with the RIEDC's board of directors. This, despite Chafee claiming in public that he made every attempt to save the company. This was all precipitated when 38 Studios relocated from Massachusetts to Rhode Island, enticed by a $75 million This was all precipitated when 38 Studios relocated from Massachusetts to Rhode Island, enticed by a $78 million loan guarantee. Chafee's alleged interference forced the studio into bankruptcy, which put Rhode Island almost $100 million in debt, which in turn had the state filing a lawsuit against the studio for fraud, negligence, breach of fiduciary duty, racketeering, conspiracy, and more, claiming the defendants knew or should have known the company couldn't survive and that the studio had lied about the company's health when the deal was made. As a result, Rhode Island claimed the company's assets, including Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning, would be auctioned off by the state. Chaffee has since announced he would not seek a second term in office. One of the reasons is the governor's resounding unpopularity in the state. Studio 38 founder Kurt Schilling stated Chaffee had, quote, an agenda, and called him, quote, a dunce of epic proportions.
Yeah. You want to know how much of a dunce this guy is? He bristled in, I think it was 2011, when people were calling, you know, the big tree in front of the state house a Christmas tree. He said, no, it's a holiday tree, which makes me think, do the Jews have holiday trees? How many religions have holiday trees around Christmas?
None.
You know, so this guy is probably the kind of guy that liberals say, please don't represent us.
Very interesting in that, you know, the $100 million shortfall was of his own design, which I don't understand how you create a shortfall and then blame somebody else for it. Very unusual behavior for,
you know, the thing is, I hate to say this, but, you know, it was he aggressively caused this to happen. And considering that Schilling is right, he is a dunce. I mean, that's one of the reasons why he's unpopular. It's because the population can't stand him because he always says the stupidest things. And I think he had a personal agenda. I think he just didn't like the video games and them getting money to make games. You know, I think he actually had a personal problem with video games, like Joe Lieberman. Oh.
One thing that hopefully will assist in this issue in my own home state of Oregon, we have a state endowment for the arts, which is typically used to bring movies and television shows to film in Oregon. They have now expanded that to include video game production. So maybe that will entice some companies to come out our way. That would be nice.
So the question is does 38 Studios, or at least what's left of it, have any recourse here?
Well, I think it depends on if they can prove malfeasance on Chaffee's part. If they can prove malfeasance on Chaffee's part and he's insisting on going forward with court action, he ends up, you know, getting himself cut off at the knees. We'll see where that goes.
Keep in mind, these are in court documents filed by the head of the RIEDC. That's kind of damning, really. If the head of the
organization,
there you go, is saying that he's a big old liar, you know, and what shocks me is that he would even prevent the issue from being discussed with that organization.
Yeah.
It's like,
exactly.
Like I said, it had to have been something personal.
Yeah. And I'm not quite sure what the deal is there. Maybe he just doesn't like
the video.
Well, like you said, like the video game industry, or perhaps he had something personal against that CEO. I don't know.
Well, maybe he all. Well, Kurt Schilling, really?
Yeah.
But the thing is that
I can't imagine why. But you know, Schilling is a very popular guy, but
he isn't very popular.
I don't know.
But you know, he's actually hated in some circles. But the thing is that I thought maybe. They were trying to get money from, you know, to orchestrate this so that they could grab the assets of Kingdoms of Amalur and the MMO that they were developing. But it's, you know, I can't imagine they would have gotten anything for that, much less $100 million.
Certainly not once the company is bankrupt. They're not going to get $100 million for their property.
You know, the thing is that, you know, Chaffee, if this is true, remember it's all alleged, but you know, I was seeing suspicion it is true, is playing games with people's money. I mean, you were complaining about that guy Yee in California for wasting taxpayer money for doing these video game bills. This is 10 times worse, literally.
Yeah.
So anyways, we're going to move on to the next item, and this one is probably going to make Jordan growl a bit. UK online UK online retailer Simply Games enforcing PS4 bundles, and this comes to us from Eurogamer. UK-based online shop Simply Games has stopped selling vanilla PlayStation 4s and have enforced bundle purchasing, raising the minimum pre-order price from £350 to a minimum of £415, which is £65, if my math is correct. What has gamers angry is that the gamers who previously pre-ordered for the former price must upgrade to the bundle. According to an email sent from Simply Games, thanks for bearing with us whilst we finalize stock configurations with Sony. Apparently, customers must update their pre-order and must choose one of the bundles. The lowest price at £415. £415, while the others are at £470. Sony isn't pleased despite Simply Games' claim. According to Sony UK PR chief David Wilson, who wrote in a statement, Sony is not and would not force anyone to buy something they don't want. We value our customers and offer the bundles precisely to give them choice and value. And the key word there is choice. We continue to work closely with our retail partners to ensure we offer this chance against the challenges of managing demand and inventory in the climate of the amazing excitement and unprecedented demand for the PlayStation 4. So while they say they're not pleased, but they're sort of like saying, well, you know, we have these bundles that we have to give away. One of the things that they're annoyed by, which isn't written here, is that one of the bundles is priced for a 15-pound cable, is a Y cable, so you can split them off, and it normally costs £15, and it's basically part of the main part of the bundle going to £414. So there's a little bit of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Padding.
Anyways, the other thing I'm thinking of is that this is bait and switch. For the most
part. It is bait and switch, and I don't know how the laws work in the UK. That wouldn't be legal in the United States. If somebody agrees to buy a product and then after the fact is told, no, it's not that price, it's actually this other price, that would be grounds for legal action. So I don't know what will happen in the UK. Well, it doesn't seem to be particularly bright of Simply Games to do this.
The person who tipped off Eurogamer said that he had contacted Trading Standards, which is the equivalent to the BBB in the US. So we'll see what happens there.
And I could see it to a certain extent if they required basic stuff. Like when I go buy my PlayStation 4, I'm planning as of right now to buy two games with it.
Right.
If they required, hey, you know what? If you buy a PlayStation 4, you have to buy two games. I'd be okay with that because that's what I'm planning on doing anyway.
No. I can't buy that. For one thing, there's something we like to call PSN. So you could probably buy a cheap game on the PlayStation 4. You know, like a $10 game or a £10 game, you know, while you're waiting to save up to get another game. But the thing is that these people pre-ordered,
right.
their PlayStation 4 well in advance.
Right.
Expecting to pay this amount. And they probably have pre-orders for their own other games elsewhere. And the thing is that they pre-ordered it expecting to pay this amount of money. And all of a sudden, they have to pay more. I mean, generally, you know, it's one thing when you're forced to buy a bundle because the retailer says, well, you know what, if you want to buy this from us, you know, you have to buy the bundle. You know, yeah. That happened with me with the Xbox, the original Xbox, that I had to buy three games and an extra controller for that bundle.
Right.
But when you make the order that isn't a bundle and all of a sudden you're told, well, guess what, we're going to have to change your order to a bundle.
Right.
That is kind of illegal, I think. You know,
it seems to me that what they're doing is they saw the news that came out from Sony saying, hey, we have 1.5 million PlayStation 4s pre-ordered. And they went, ooh, ka-ching, because they thought they're thinking that they have a captive audience and that nobody will squeak about it. Obviously, that's not going to happen.
Well, what it tells me, actually, is that they thought they were going to make a profit. And realized, oh no, we're not going to make a profit on this. We're going to have to start, you know, putting stuff in. I mean, a 65-pound increase for a 15-pound cable? I mean, seriously? I'm not sure that's all that's in there, but that's one of the main beefs is that they're overpriced. They're paying, you know, extra charges for stuff that shouldn't cost that much.
Well, not only that, but nobody needs a Y cable. You know, the only reason you would need a Y cable is if you're hooking your PlayStation 4 up to two monitors. Nobody's doing that.
No. I'm sorry. It's a Y USB cable. I'm sorry. It's the
Y USB
cable that allows you to use additional controls. But the thing is that I remember the term. It's price gouging. I don't know. This sounds fishy. It'll be interesting to see what happens with this. And, you know, at least there's no reports of any U.S. retailers doing this.
Right.
So you have you pre-ordered your PS4, right? Did you get a bundle or did you just get it straight?
Just the straight console.
Right. Okay. So we're going to move on to the next item. Take it away, Jordan.
Half-Life 3 removed from trademark registry, Portal 3 appears. This comes to us from Strategy Informer. In one of the odder events of the year, Half-Life 3 has been removed as a registrant in the Trademarks and Design Registration Office of the European Union, the OHIM. Searching for the registry number at the OHIM will find it doesn't exist anymore, but all of this doesn't explain the numerous Half-Life 3 references, images, and logos that appeared in Valve's internal groups. It seems that, like, either an external party committed a hoax or Valve prematurely registered Half-Life 3 while it's still in development. Adding to the intrigue, an OHIM registry for Portal 3 has appeared, and this entry was vetted by OHIM itself, meaning it is confirmed.
So, yeah, I mean, when this appeared on the trademark registry, people got excited. For one thing, you have to understand something about trademark registration of this sort. It's not cheap. it's correct. Actually, you know, you have to pay a lot of money to register your trademark. What it tells me is that someone registered it and then didn't pay. So it appeared and then disappeared because of a lack of payment. But you have to wonder who registered. Was it a hoaxer or was it Valve? And they just went, oops, we shouldn't have done this right now.
Well, as soon as the news immediately broke of, oh my God, Half-Life 3 confirmed. They probably, you know, didn't realize exactly how closely people were paying attention to that.
Oh, come on. People are, you know, I mean, one of the jokes is, of course, and you've said this many times, Valve doesn't know how to count to three.
Valve doesn't know how to count to three. Exactly. Valve doesn't know how to count to three. And I'm blanking on the developer's name because it's late for me. Yeah, but the folks that do Uncharted, their fourth game of every franchise is a kart racer.
Yeah, we're still waiting for the Uncharted kart racing game. Naughty Dog.
Yes. Naughty Dog, yes. The fourth game in all their franchise is a kart racer.
So one of the things that was also leaked earlier this year was Left 4 Dead 3. Well, it doesn't have quite the cachet of Half-Life 3. That, you know, that would be kind of under the radar, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But I don't know if there's a huge need for a Portal 3. I mean, I enjoyed Portal 2, right? I still haven't done the co-op missions, but it didn't quite have the same charm as the first Portal.
I don't know. I think, you know, it got more charming as it went on. As soon as you started getting the Cave Johnson voiceovers, it became a lot more charming.
But the problem is that they also wrapped up Chell's story pretty finally in that ending.
Yeah.
And the thing is that the way it ends, you know, it sort of has a little bit of a hint of a Half-Life 3 tie-in, mm-hmm. more or less. And the entire game is a tie-in, by the way. You know, Cave keeps on talking about Aperture. I mean, not Aperture, but they keep on talking about Black Mesa and how Aperture wants to kick Black Mesa's ass, you know?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
One of the funny things is that he created some of those gels as trying to make a new breakfast food or something like that. And it poisoned him because, you know, apparently eating moon dust doesn't really help your internal digestive system. And, you know, that entire when you have lemons, you make lemonade speech that Cave does will bring a tear to your eye.
Yes.
Yeah. It's also part of the status.
Make life. Take their lemons back.
Yeah.
Burn their house down with lemons.
All right. I've been thinking. When life gives you lemons, don't make lemonade.
Yeah.
Make life. Take the lemons back.
Yeah.
Get mad.
Yeah.
I don't want your damn lemons. What am I supposed to do with these?
Yeah, take the lemons.
Demand to see life's manager.
Yeah.
Make life rue the day it thought it could give Cave Johnson lemons. Do you know who I am? I'm the man who's going to burn your house down with the lemons.
Oh, I like this guy.
I'm going to get my engineers to invent a combustible lemon that burns your house down.
Burn his house down. Burning people. He says what we're all thinking.
But the thing is that it's also sad because he's dying at that point. And when he's finished with his speech, GLaDOS says, "Goodbye, sir."
Yeah.
Because
GLaDOS was his assistant.
Caroline, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, so, and it's also heavily hinted that Chell was Caroline's daughter because he had to bring your daughter to work day. But anyways, all those spoilers, well, it's a two-year-old game, so if you don't know this stuff, tough.
You should have played it by now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of games that are vaporware, here you go, take the next one. I know it's me, right? The Last Guardian developer is, quote-unquote, re-engineering the game, and it was, quote-unquote, never on hiatus, and this comes to us from CVG. President Shuri Yoshida of Sony Worldwide Studios has dismissed the on-hiatus status of The Last Guardian, clarifying they meant, in terms of releasing new information and not the game itself, game production was, quote-unquote, never stopped, but they're, quote-unquote, re-engineering it. The Last Guardian was, I did not write this copy, folks, so... Game production, quote-unquote, never stopped, but they're re-engineering The Last Guardian, so their team is smaller. At E3 2009, it was announced for the PS3, and now it seems it's being re-engineered for the PS4. Will Yoshida just cut it to it and confirm the platforms? That I cannot talk about, he told Games Industry Biz. The game hasn't been seen in the wild since 2010. Hiatus, it was Jack Tretton. He used that term. I said, no, hiatus is misleading, continued Yoshida, referring to Jack Tretton's words to game trailers back in June. It was on hiatus in terms of releasing new information. The game has never stopped. The team has always been here. They're going through the re-engineering of the game, so the team size is smaller. It's more engineering-focused right now. Fumito Ueda exited Japan Studio back in November 2011, but the Ico and Shadow of the Colossus lead designer continues to operate as a freelance developer on The Last Guardian. Yoshida added, "We're waiting for the right time to reintroduce it. The Last Guardian, we're waiting for the right time to reintroduce The Last Guardian in an appropriate way. The game is in development, it's well-staffed, and Ueda-san is here working, and even though he's not a Sony employee, he's dedicated to the product. The Last Guardian has become Sony's very own little Duke Nukem Forever saga." You know, when someone says, "Oh, no, it isn't on hiatus, we're re-engineering it, even though our team is tiny now."
We're using a smaller team to develop for a more sophisticated console. That's going to work out fine.
Yeah. This reminds me a little bit of Microsoft back before E3 when they were fumbling around with whether the Xbox One would be online or always online or not.
Right.
You have the same vibe here with Tretton and Yoshida, not quite knowing which one is, you know, you have sort of a Don Matrick thing going on here.
I just love the notion that, you know, it wasn't the game wasn't hiatus. The information about the game was on hiatus.
Yeah. And, you know, the perfect time to announce it was a couple of weeks ago at Tokyo Game Show.
I would have thought Tokyo Game Show, but it could be they're waiting to announce it during the actual Japanese launch. Would, you know, put it around February, March of next year. I could see them doing that easily.
The word that springs to mind is vaporware. I don't even think it's going to have Duke Nukem status. I think it's just going to disappear into a.
I think that's a valid fear, considering the last we heard anything about it was 3 years ago.
And here's the question for you: when it does come out, is anybody going to care?
I think people will absolutely flip their crap for any new game from Team Ico, given how well liked the previous games have been.
I don't know. I think there's a bit of snark and cynicism about it. You know, it'd have to be something really special. And at this point, when you're re-engineering a game for a new console with a smaller team, I don't see that happening. I mean, when are they planning to release this? 2017? I mean...
Exactly. You need a larger... Well, it depends on how much of it was completed as well, right? If the game was like 90% or 95% complete,
but
you could do a conversion with a smaller team.
Yeah, but that's the problem, isn't it?
They're doing
a whole new console. And the PS3 and the PS4 are not compatible.
No, they're not.
So the thing is that, you know, and you have Ueda working with a team, which... I wonder how much he really is working with the team. And what he has to say, either. I mean, he's no longer working for Sony. He's committed, quote-unquote, committed to the project. But if that were true, why did he leave in the first place?
Yeah.
And by the way, it took Sony a long time for them to even admit he wasn't working with them anymore, either. There's a lot of strange things going on with this game, you know? So, let me ask you a question. Are you interested in The Last Guardian?
I didn't particularly care for the last two games, so, you know, I might be interested in looking at it just as terms of an art piece or a collector's piece, but I'm not particularly looking. I thought Ico was incredibly boring. It didn't seem like there was much to the game. Shadow of the Colossus, I can't say I ever really played. It didn't really grab me.
You know, the one reason why I really don't like Last Guardian is because it looks like they're ripping off Falcor from The NeverEnding Story. Have you noticed that? That creature looks almost like it has the same face as Falcor.
I can't say I've noticed that.
You've seen The NeverEnding Story, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Well, look at Falcor, and then look at this creature's face, and tell me you don't see a resemblance there.
I will look that up.
Okay, and
speaking of looking things up, before we move on to the last item, I did look up the current bundles that are available at simplygames.com because I wanted to see exactly what they were doing. First thing they have up is a note that says, please note, we have now sold out of all our PlayStation 4 consoles for day one release, talking about the non-bundled PlayStation 4s. This PlayStation 4 bundle contains PlayStation 4 and various other things. The two cheapest bundles they have are a PS4 plus Killzone Shadowfall for £400 or the console plus Watch Dogs for £400.
It sounds like
that's the minimum price of entry. And then the next one up from that is the PlayStation 4 plus an extra controller and that Y dual charging cable for £415. And then when you get up to £469, you're looking at the console, a drive club, two controllers and a cable, or Assassin's Creed 4, two controllers and a cable, or Killzone or Watch Dogs, two controllers and a cable for £470.
Sounds like they were pressured into adding those two other bundles, and perhaps by Sony.
Yeah, looking at what they're offering, whether the cable is overpriced or not, I can't speak to that because I don't do pound conversions in my head. But
that's just
generous,
by the way, saying that it's sold out because they're not. It has nothing to do with sold out. They're
exactly
they're charging people who already pre-ordered it.
Correct. Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
But
charging people, making people buy a bundle to get a game they're probably already going to buy anyway, plus an extra controller, which they'd probably already buy anyway, throwing in a cable that they're not going to need seems kind of silly. But it could have been worse. It could have been worse.
Yeah, it was worse. They just they changed their order to cover their ass, basically.
Right, right.
So we're going to move on to the next item. And by the way, there's a theme in all these stories. It's people doing bad things. People doing bad things or stupid things.
I have to look up the creature from last story so I can compare it. Grand Theft Auto Online microtransactions disabled while server issues persist. This comes to us from Polygon. As the server issues continue to plague Grand Theft Auto V's Grand Theft Auto Online mode, Rockstar has announced that microtransactions will be suspended until those issues are resolved. In a statement on the Rockstar blog, the studio wrote, quote, for the time being, and until we've been able to get everybody access to Grand Theft Auto Online and things are running smoothly, we have disabled the option of purchasable Grand Theft Auto cash packs. All of these initial technical issues will be ironed out as soon as we can. Please know the entire team here at Rockstar and all of our relevant partners are and will continue to be working around the clock to get the experience to be as smooth as possible as soon as possible, Rockstar added. The company enumerated the issues that had to be fixed yesterday before Grand Theft Auto Online was considered fixed. At least report an update with the PS3 version was released with the 360 patch coming.
Yeah. And the thing is, I don't know if they've restored the microtransactions or even if the PS3 patch works. So if any of our listeners are playing Grand Theft Auto V, let us know how it's going. It's interesting you know, that I don't know how many people were heartbroken that they couldn't buy these microtransaction cash packs.
I don't know. I know a lot of people are heartbroken that they haven't been able to connect to Grand Theft Auto Online. I'm not one of them. I'm not a fan of the Grand Theft Auto games, so I haven't experienced that.
Yeah, you know, in a recent story, the actors are defending the characters that they play, and basically it all sums up with, well, it's not real. Just get over it. You know, it's all for fun. Even though what they do is kind of horrific in the game, not being too much, you know. So, I haven't gotten my copy of Grand Theft Auto 5, and I'm not sure I'm ever going to pick it up. You know, maybe the next gen version. You know, whenever that comes out, because it's inevitable.
Next year, it'll be out next year, I'm sure.
Yeah, and maybe even less than that. Maybe it's going to be out this year, like in December.
And that would be neat, just in time for Christmas.
Well, the thing is that you also,
because you know, it's such a heartwarming story.
Yeah. I mean, well, the thing is that I'm just wondering how many more. Keep in mind, they made over $1 billion in 72 hours. Now all they do is announce the PC version, the next gen version, and they can just do it over again.
Well, that, and, you know, it's not like they don't have the cash to fix the problems, right? I mean, you know, they've got an extra $1 billion lying around. They could spin up some more servers, whatever they need to do to make this happen.
Well, there's another problem going with Grand Theft Auto V, and that's your stuff disappearing, which is a major problem.
I have heard that complaint, particularly of people having their cars stolen. The cars that they stole don't stay stolen. Other people are stealing my cars.
Well, actually, it's not. It's actually the opposite. It's that when, in some cases, when you park a car that's specific to one of the three characters with another of the three characters, the game gets confused and it vanishes. So,
interesting.
You know, so. It's the game stole your legitimately, you know, the game is stealing your car and it's actually your car. So you didn't steal it. Ironically, the game is stealing your car. So, yeah, I mean, I think it still has a Metacritic like 96 or 97, right? I don't think it's that high, you know. I think there's an incredible amount of hype.
I think that's true, and that's a danger with most games operating at this level. They do tend to be overscored.
By the way, these also Rockstar is unsurprisingly talking about Grand Theft Auto 6, saying they have a lot of ideas. So
too soon.
Well, did you ever doubt the existence that a 6 might be in the?
No, I didn't doubt the existence, but you know, they need to go through their DLC. They need to go through, you know, whatever side stories they're going to come up with and so on and so forth. They shouldn't jump immediately to 6.
Well, the thing is they went backwards here. It'd be like
Ubisoft going straight to Assassin's Creed 4. Oh, wait.
You know, the thing is that they're going backwards here because this is basically GTA San Andreas. Right? So, will the next one be going backwards? You'll do Vice City next, maybe?
I don't know.
And the thing is that if you want it to break, you know, because the thing about Saints Row 4, it's basically Crackdown 3. You know, everything that you do in that game, you say, wait a minute, I'm playing Crackdown. Especially since you have to grab glowing orbs.
I never played Crackdown or the Saints Row game, so I can't speak to it.
Well, Saints Row 4 is so way over the top. I mean, you're the president in the opening, and you're basically acting like a cool gangster anyway. It's sort of like someone brings you two documents. One is to feed the poor, and the other one is for something else. And the title of the one that's feed the poor is "Fuck Hunger." Something to that effect. It's just,
that's like the old joke from Mel Brooks's History of the World Part One with the Roman Senate saying, should we continue spending millions and millions of dollars to assist the poor, or should we instead build high class housing for the rich? And the Senate in unanimous goes, the poor.
Yeah, that's what the Republican Party is saying right now.
Kind of what's going on right now. Exactly.
Yeah. So anyways, we're going to move to listener feedback. And yeah, we got a bunch this week. So
yay, feedback. We like hearing from all of you guys out there in internet space world.
Well, it was your request last week.
It was my request last week, and people actually listened. I'm excited.
Yeah, so go ahead.
From Brian, don't feel bad, guys. I listen every week, even though it's a bit hit or miss when one of you starts on a rant. It's still a good listen and a good place to get in-depth gaming news. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, and that's kind of short, so you can move on to the next one.
From Alpha Shard, I'll try to keep this more brief than my last post. Hopefully bullet pointing will help. Bullet point. I'm sorry to hear about your foot. I don't know what could do that. Well, diabetes does that. But I guess the one silver lining is that you can say you will be a cyborg now or training up to be the $6 million man. I hope my foot doesn't cost that much money.
Oh, boy.
The Boba Fett game, all I can say is, ouch, that would have made many a Star Wars fan happy. I am in the camp of meh about Boba Fett. I agree with Jordan's assessment on him. Dying Light, I certainly hope that it isn't another DI.
That's Dead Island.
Oh, Dead Island. I found that game to be boring very quickly. Just unending swarm of zombies can get tedious. Watch Dogs, if it requires the install, might as well get it for PC. This episode pretty much confirmed my decision to stick with PC and get 3DS for the family to play together. If Atari and Sega can survive on software sales, so can Nintendo. I would tend to agree with that. I feel that Nintendo has been behind the hardware race really since the Nintendo 64.
No. Since the SNES, I think. Was that the SNES the last time the Nintendo was ahead of the curve?
Well, the SNES was technically more powerful than the Genesis, but when the next generation of consoles launched, the Saturn and the PlayStation and the Saturn and the PlayStation, Nintendo stubbornly held on to this Super Nintendo, and they were running ads saying 32 bits. Ah, yeah. 16 bits is plenty.
Well, you know, Sega was saying, what was it? Was it Sega said that the Genesis can what Nintendo don't?
Sega does what Nintendo don't, yes.
Yeah.
It seems like a lack of foresight to try to make previous libraries available on PSN, and the same with Microsoft. If they make more money on software than they are losing money from this potential customer that wants to buy games they refuse to have on digital stores, I end up having to buy PC versions or emulate them on PC. Okay, I managed to keep that shorter. Great episode, guys. Lots of laughter. I told Dan to write you. Oh, and the guy with the yo-yo weapon was Rygar. He was one of the best themes ever.
Yeah. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Bow, bow. Yeah, I remember that theme. From Paul Pretke, I considered using only consonants to shorten the post, but then I decided to simply write less. You know, that reminds me, I had a Superman album, you know, an LP, and one of the adventures was with Mixpitalk, and he removed all the vowels, so everybody couldn't say any vowels.
Nice.
So, and at the end, Lois
Lane. Mixel Spitlick. Please say it properly, Mixel Spitlick.
Really? I always say Mixpitalk.
Mixel Spitlick.
That's how he says it in the album, Mixpitalk.
Mixel Spitlick.
But the thing is that after it was taken, you know, after Superman managed to convince him to say his last name backwards, Clark said something and Lois Lane just said Blinny. It's a baloney. Yes, Blinny.
Blinny.
Yeah. A shout out to Red Letter Media. I love those guys. Mr. Plinkett reviews are awesome, and their other shows, Half in the Bag and The Best of the Worst, are very entertaining. Have you watched any Red Letter Media?
I'm not even aware of what Red Letter Media is.
Go to redlettermedia.com and then go listen to the Mr. Plinkett reviews of Star Wars, the prequels, each one. It's a long listen. It's 6 hours, you know. But one of the best things is that even though he's a homicidal serial murderer, 119-year-old who frequently curses and kidnaps hookers and crashes into Korean families, his criticisms of the prequels is extremely insightful. And the thing is that, you know what, when you have Roger Ebert referencing you to your reviews as, you know, evidence of, you know, what was wrong with it, then you did something good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, especially, but the funny thing is that one thing is that, you know, he said, despite certain people, claiming they thought that The Phantom Menace was really good, and it shows a picture of Kevin Smith, and underneath it says, "This photo of Kevin Smith is unrelated to anything being said in this review." So it's really insightful. You really have to. And if you love bad movies, what happens is they Half in the Bag are reviews of movies that just came out or a couple of months ago. their review of After Earth is hilarious, you know, and also The Lone Ranger, you know. So seriously, you have to watch those videos. They're hilarious.
I will take a look when and if I end up having time.
Shout out to Dying Light. Polish guys really know how to develop great games. Remember Robbo? No, I don't. Robbo?
I can't say I remember Robbo.
No. Anti-shout out to Ubisoft. At least I'm getting that 1 terabyte drive for the PS4. Maybe it'll be enough for Watch Dogs. I'm really looking forward to that game. So, yeah, I mean, you're looking forward to Watch Dogs. I'm looking forward to Watch Dogs. I still haven't figured out which platform I want to buy it for yet, though. I mean, if I get it for the 360, I can get the Xbox One version for just $10 more.
That's true.
But if I get it for the PC, I'll have the more the most powerful machine. But the thing is, that with Ubisoft and PC games, I don't know. I don't know what kind of sneaky little DR. Oh, and God, Uplay. Uplay. Or
I'm picking up the PS4 version. As I find it fascinating that they advertise the PS4 as exclusive, extra 60 minutes of content, and then they mark the PS3 as exclusive, extra 60 minutes of content.
Well, I don't really care.
Yeah.
My content is going to be trolling other people's versions. I hope they have cross-platform play. I mean, if you can do it on your tablet...
Exactly. Yeah. There's no reason why they shouldn't allow that.
So, you know what? I'm just going to troll you on my tablet then.
You can do that.
Yeah. So, but the thing is that the only problem is that it's going to have Uplay, and I still don't know what they're trying to do with Uplay.
Yeah. I don't think Ubisoft knows what they're trying to do with Uplay. There have been so many problems with Uplay, it's not even funny.
Well, in this case, you know, they said they have a plan for next gen. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
So, okay, next one. And we have a Facebook message.
from Billy Stanton via Facebook. Jordan, I haven't written a while and you didn't think to call me out like you did the others. I am, after all, about the guy that posts on your Facebook. I used to listen way back when Derek and Jennifer led the show. I remember I was looking for new podcasting content to consume and thought I'd search for video game news. I appreciated your show's format with multiple hosts discussing industry news rather than elderly retired man claiming how awesome the next Call of Duty was. Wait, what?
Yeah, well,
you can play, but the next Call of Duty is going to be very awesome.
You're not retired yet.
No, I'm not. Unless, Jordan, this was an elaborate ruse that perhaps you knew all along that I would come out of the woodwork to respond by neglecting to call me out as one of the listeners who hadn't responded in a while, and I fell into your trap. Well played, sir. Question of the week. I almost never use console commands these days. I feel guilty enough deciding not to challenge myself by playing on easy, or is easy not politically correct anymore? The trend of casual difficulty modes replacing easy difficulty modes is curious. Anyway, I did use the power overwhelming command invincibility in the original StarCraft when I was growing up. I know this isn't really a command, but I love the Super NES NBA Jam cheat that allowed me to dunk from anywhere on the court. Something about flying through the air across an entire basketball court had an effect on me as the non-athlete that I am. A lot of those quote-unquote cheats in NBA Jam weren't really cheats. They wanted you to do that stuff.
Big head mode
and all of that. Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Here's the thing, you know, when I put on God mode in Half-Life, because I don't want to deal with the bullshit that Valve did during the Zen levels, that's not casual difficulty. That's me saying, fuck you, I'm just going to get through this and not deal with this. I don't want to.
I thought it was hilarious in the various cheat codes for the original Killzone, there was also a big head mode, which I played with, and that was pretty funny.
Yeah. I mean... there's a reason why it's called God mode. You know, right. if God did not intend to have us to have God mode, he wouldn't have called it God mode.
Exactly.
You know, my view on God mode is it's the answer to fixing the problems the developers didn't fix while they were making the game, you know?
Yeah, it's intended for like the multiple playthroughs to see everything that you didn't get a chance to see. But, you know, in the case of like where I was going back through the original Killzone games, I had no problem turning on cheats because really all I wanted to do was experience the game before playing the new one.
Yeah. I mean, I have no problem playing on super easy on Alpha Protocol. It's not a God mode, but it, you know, makes the game a lot faster, you know. And
I have to admit, I I put Diablo 3 on super easy mode for my wife so she wouldn't feel bad when by dying all the time.
But what about...
And she's really enjoying Diablo 3.
Wait a minute. If you're doing super easy mode, then how the hell are you dealing with the Infernal mode and all the... You know?
Well, we've moved up since then, but her initial playthrough was on the easiest mode possible because I didn't want her being dragged down by getting killed all the time. I wanted her to experience the game and bring her up to speed slowly. Don't tell her I said that.
Did you get any epic loot?
I have gotten some pretty epic loot so far. It's a very impressive game.
Yeah. By the way,
exchange or anything.
Yeah. No auction house, right?
Auction house.
Just a little PSA. Borderlands 2 has a special contest going on, and each day there's going to be a special gun drop somewhere in the land of Borderlands 2, and there'll be like a mission for you to kill a certain number of creatures with that gun or do certain things with that special gun. And if you do the daily challenge every day until November 7th, you have a chance to win $50,000. You have a chance to win $50,000. And you can also win some other loot, too. So it's like a little PSA there if you play Borderlands 2. I have not played Borderlands 2 since its launch, after 2 weeks after its launch. It just doesn't resonate with me, you know?
I enjoyed the heck out of the game. I was frustrated at that initial crate that you can't unlock unless you get the super secret key to open it, which you have to get off their Twitter or Facebook feeds and so on and so forth. But other than that, I enjoyed the game.
Maybe it's because I have to play co-op. Maybe just playing that game solo is just drag.
I played it solo. I thought it was fine.
Okay. Anyways, there's no question of the week this week. We're just saying, just give us what you want to hear. Just ask us questions you want us to answer.
Tell us what you want and we'll go away. Oh, wait.
No.
So it's a Stephen King reference.
Yeah. Look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy your feedback at Look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy your feedback. So leave us comments at our blog at gamingpodcast.net. Also, it's up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast or the forums at gamingpodcast.net/forum or send us your comments to fans@gamingpodcast.net. You can also check out our gaming news at gamestudio.com. Also, subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us some iTunes comments. This is going to be a short episode. And the thing is,
I have to say, I did look up the creature from Last Guardian, and to me, it doesn't look so much like the big dog dragon thing from Neverending Story. Yes. It looks like a German Shepherd puppy.
Well, it also has chicken.
A giant German Shepherd puppy
with chicken feet.
Yeah, with chicken feet. Correct.
Yeah. Next week, I'm seriously considering putting an outtakes episode, especially after this episode. Tons of episode outtakes after this episode, but to give us a break for a week, especially Comic-Con is this week, by the way, New York City
Comic-Con.
And you're going to love this. On Saturday, you're going to have William Shatner and Patrick Stewart in the show floor.
I was tempted to slip you $50 to get my wife one of those shield badges that EFX is doing.
What is that?
So it's a replica shield badge. You're aware of shield, right?
Oh, you mean Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yes, yes.
I'm not much of a Marvel person. Maybe I can pick one up. I don't know. I mean, is it costing or are they just giving it away?
It's like $50.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'd have to pre-order it online and have you pick it up and blah, 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 which is why I did not initially just jump on it. But you get a replica Phil Coulson S.H.I.E.L.D. badge. I thought that was kind of cool.
Oh, okay. Maybe. Well, I'm going to be, you know, the funny thing is that I've been getting a lot of invites for that I was intrigued by for Adult Swim. Unfortunately, a lot of their stuff that I really wanted to go, I can't attend. And, you know, I really wanted to listen to what they're going to be doing with Venture Brothers.
Yeah.
So
Venture Brothers is a big thing for a lot of people.
Yeah, my favorite scene is when they're talking about what a rusty venture is. You've seen that.
That just sounds dirty. I'm sorry.
It is dirty, by the way. And get this, I have the unfiltered scene. You know, because you know when they air it on TV, you know they do the censor beeps.
Yeah.
I have the uncensored version of that discussion with a rusty venture. And the things that they describe what a rusty venture might be, because they're arguing what a rusty venture is. It's a sexual act. That's extremely disgusting. You know, it's just, I'll have to send you the video. I have to give you the video link. It is just so over the top dirty, you know. But the best part is Rusty's reaction to all this. I love it when Shoreleaf tells him that, you know, when he was young, you know, and he had his own show, he said he was like a redheaded Barbara Streisand with the gay community. So, yeah, if you want to find out where the Rusty Venture is, I'm going to have to send Jordan this link.
I'll look it up on Urban Dictionary. Yeah, I bet it's already out there.
No, I mean, it's way over the top gross. Not gross. Yes, it is gross, actually. Especially what Shoreleaf says is not a Rusty Venture. It's a double frog, man.
Am I gonna need eye bleach and, you know, mind bleach after that?
You're gonna need
all kinds of bleach. Bleach all the things.
No, you're gonna need a defib kit from Laughing Hard.
Okay.
It is really over the top, and I'm gonna post a link to it in the show notes, just so that people can. Of course. Need I say this is not safe for work?
Yeah.
So, anyways, thanks for listening in, and we may see you next week, but probably it's gonna be an outtakes episode.
That'll give me another week to rest. I think I would enjoy another week to rest. I'm actually back doing the work at home thing. So, well, yeah,
you know, exactly. Just don't die, you know.
I'm trying not to die.
It's going to throw the show into chaos if you die.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, just so those his fans know, Paul is still extremely stressed with the crunch that he's still going through and developing the game. So, if you're wondering where Paul is, he's still not ready to come back yet.
Poor Paul. We need to send him like a gift basket or something.
He's making money.
That's true.
So, you know, we can get him. So we can, actually, I was thinking about sending him a card. He likes it when I send snarky cards. Anyways, we'll see you next. Well, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
See you in a couple of weeks. Thanks, guys.
Hello. Oh, you like that, don't you? How about I take you to my boudoir and give you a little Rusty Venture?
Whoa! Denied!
Well, what was that about?
Boom! Right out of the gate, you asked for a Rusty Venture. That is bold, my friend. Kudos.
What? I have chill bubbly in my room.
Rust. You do realize that a Rusty Venture is when you take your finger and run it around a guy's... Why, you the guy off into his own... What? My name is a sex act? When did that happen?
Like in the 80s, and Al is way off. A Rusty Venture is when you're 69 and you fill each other's with... And then you turn over and blow into each other's...
Good Lord! How could that be named after me? What does it have to do with me?
Oh, don't play coy. Your cartoon was huge in the gay community. We used to throw Rusty Venture parties in the Castro. We'd all wear little striped tops and tight little shorts.
How did you not know this? Man, you're like a little Twinkie Cher. A ginger freaking Liza Minogue.
No, I miss this. I don't 69 guys and do that spitting thing.
That's not a Rusty Venture. That's a snake venom.
Oh. You are misinformed, my darling. You want to settle this? Maybe make a little wager?
Fine. I'll bet you a Rusty Venture I'm right.
Stop it.
You are... On. I am going to call an authority on both subjects.
Yellow? No, sure. I am the one who started that craze back in P-Town with Tennessee Williams. It's brilliant! What you do is you take a scuba snorkel and you put your in the wee bendy mouth part. Then you sneak the other end right up your back address, okay? Then you just grab the middle of that snorkel and you in your own ass and pulling off your crank at the self-same time until you spend in your own jacksie. That's a Rusty Venture. Misha? Misha! No! Bad girl!
Useless. That was Colonel Gemma.
And
the out-of-touch old windbag just described a double frogman.
Give me your phone. You. I told you, when your arch is terminated by a third party, it's not our problem. A what? Well, of course I do. It's when you... the guy, and then you open up your hand inside his and grab the... No, he's laying down. Then whatever you come out with, you rub on his...
Wrong! The Rusty Venture is a straight move.
Okay, it's when you take a girl out for a huge dinner, but you don't let her go to the can. Then you have anal sex with her and she all over your... So right when you're about to get off, you take it out, you blow...
on her back.
That's a rusty venture?
Nah, it's the rusty part. The venture part is when you eat that junk off her back without using your hands.
Are you getting this?
Yeah, I heard it, and you're both wrong.
To settle the bet?
Yes, with shore leave.
I don't care anymore. And frankly, I'm disgusted that my good name is being used for this baloney.
This is not over until one of us gets a rusty venture.
Agreed.